Blog Talk Radio.
Reporting live from the Super Bowl blackout. No, wait a minute. That was 2 days ago. Never mind.
The Illuminati caused it. Oh, my God. You see, hearing this crap, people are saying, you threw up the Illuminati symbol.
That is a symbol for at least three different things off the top of my head. It also means...
And one of them is her husband...
That's what he does.
Yeah.
One of them also means diamond. It's also the symbol for a sorority. Mm-hmm. Delta Sigma Theta. Come on now. I don't know if she's in the sorority, but who knows?
I don't know. I don't think she went to college, did she?
No,
she didn't even finish high school.
Well, I think she finished high school. I just don't think she did the college route. Here's what I don't... Here's what I'm not following. The whole conspiracy theory thing in regards to her doesn't make any sense, people. Why?
I mean, because people are like, well, she's one of the most powerful women in the world. Really?
Yeah, she's not
Oprah.
No, she's not Oprah. You know, Oprah, even still, even if they are a member of this secret society, what exactly is their purpose? Are they keeping the cure for cancer hidden? That's what I'm trying to figure out, the whole conspiracy theory thing. What are they conspiring? You have to have a conspiracy to be conspiring about. What are they conspiring about? Somebody pointed out to me, and none of this illogical BS that y'all like to put up. She's a member of this, and they did this, because you're not paying attention to the question. I don't want to hear what they did or what she had on or what it means. I want to hear what exactly are they trying to hide. That's what always throws me about conspiracy theorists. I mean, you know, when you say stuff about aliens, I understand from a logical standpoint. You don't want to tell people that they're aliens because people lose their effing minds. Even as bad as it might be to be conspiring and hiding cancer, you know, the cure for cancer from people, the motive obviously is money. If we give you a cure, we lose all the billions of dollars you make off of cancer donations and things every year. I'm not saying this exists. I'm just saying when you come to me with a conspiracy in that regard, that's where my mind goes logically. This whole Illuminati business, I don't get. What exactly are they hiding that we are supposed to be all worried about? Why do I need to point this out if they are? I don't care if she's throwing up symbols. I don't care.
I don't know. And that's the deal. And it's the whole, to me at least, I'm like, all right, so what if it was Illuminati? Oh, my God, they turned off the lights at the Super Bowl. That's so big. That's world-changing. No, it's not. Well, it's not the Illuminati. Come on. They've got better things to do if they exist, if they, you know, whatever.
Or we would hope.
Then turn off the lights at the Super Bowl.
What are they? Cyber pranksters. That's the highlight of their day. We're Illuminati. We're going to let Beyonce perform. Then we're going to turn off the lights at the Super Bowl. Okay, what's the purpose? To turn off the lights. It's the Super Bowl. And?
So? They turn off the lights as soon as the game's over. Come on.
It's called a switch.
Exactly. It's not that big of a deal, but people are... Very, very, very strange.
I'm not following people. Can somebody let us know what is the whole thing? If they got a great secret organization, how can we join in?
That's a very good question. How can we join in?
All right. Now, speaking of secretive and secret organizations, Congregate... doing something interesting. They've launched a $10 million fund for their mobile developers. Ooh. You know, I just realized I don't have Twitter open.
I don't have Twitter open. Can't be good.
That's not good. Okay.
Well, so I just opened up Twitch because I realized I didn't have Twitch going, so I figured I don't want to do that.
Oh, we suck. Okay.
Well, I'm streaming. I just didn't have the chat room open.
Okay, well, GameStop owns the Portal Congregate, and they're launching a new program for free-to-play mobile game developers. It signed former Zynga general manager Smith, to oversee it. Developers are increasingly finding it harder to get their games discovered through the different app stores, said Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith. We really can't tell with his name. He says he or she personally faced these challenges in 2009 while managing their own game studio. Utilizing the Congregate platform made their game successful, which ultimately led to their studio being acquired by Zynga, which then became a casino. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so the program offers...
No, you're not really, but
the program offers financial assistance to help developers mm-hmm. finish their game in the form of cash advances for final builds and integration support to help with testing, QA, and monetization and marketing through GameStop's iOS and Android apps. The company has committed a $10 million fund to the project. Congregate was founded in 2006 and acquired by GameStop in 2010. I remember that because I was very upset. Developers can upload games directly to the Congregate site and then receive a cut of any advertising and virtual items revenue. Last year, it added to the free-to-play downloadable games feather to its online gaming cap, and I think that is a direct jab at Steam.
It could very well be.
Yeah, because Steam will let you upload stuff, but it won't... they don't give you any money.
Yeah, they won't let you monetize it.
Yeah, because Don't Starve has been up on Steam for the longest time. They're in beta, and of course, I'm sure there's some ads there. Go look up Don't Starve, y'all, let me know. And, hey, they don't get any money from that.
They don't?
No.
Huh.
They don't get any monies from being, you know, they get the exposure, but that's about it.
Well, that doesn't seem right.
It don't seem right at all.
No, it doesn't.
And I think, no.
And she thinks you better pay up.
I'm throwing up an Illuminati sign. Ours is an I, by the way, in case y'all just want to know.
Where's our money, please? Come on.
Beyonce, we did it. Give us some money.
Mm-hmm. It was totally us. All right, so if I can get this going, they've changed my software a little bit here today. It's updated, so it's new, it's kind of cool. Stop that. All right, so Paradox, we talked about this yesterday. I'm going to talk about it more today, because I got, look at that, a trailer for you. Paradox announces Magicka Wizards of the Square Table for largely rectangular tablets. Yeah. All right, so publisher unveils all new cross-platform, multiplayer, co-op, tablet, exclusive, hyphen-heavy games. Oh, yes, that was very hyphen heavy. All right, Paradox Interactive, a publisher of games and an advocate of robe wearing, today announced the forthcoming release of Magicka Wizards of the Square Tablet for iPad and Android tablets. The new title brings the franchise's innovative and ridiculous gameplay to tablet devices, an all new adventure featuring everything that made Magicka a smash hit on the PC, including the unique element combining a spellcasting system. The twisted humor and the robes of every imaginable hue, Magicka Wizards of the Square Tablet will allow four-player co-op gameplay across platforms, allowing players to discover which ignites faster, an iPad or an Android tablet. Oh, my God. All right, so what do we got? We got a couple of features. Spellbinding, spellcasting. Combine elements, create thousands of spell combinations. Original story, all-new campaign for single or multiplayer. Sizzling, tablet-on-tablet action. Cross-platform co-op between iOS and Android. A good excuse to trim your friends' list. Four-player mayhem with accidental team kills. Fat loot on the twin screen. New items and powers you need to both iOS and Android. And, oh my God, I gotta move this window. Spend hours touching a representation of yourself. Wow. All right, so again, that is Magicka Wizards of the Square Tablet. Yeah, I'm going to have this up on GameNature.com in just a little bit. Head over there and check it out. Oh, my God. I love these people. Paradox is amazing, and Magicka is just
awesome.
Hilarious. It's perfect. It's beautiful.
All right. Holla at a player.
So just don't play with Corey.
Me? What did I do? What happened?
you're not allowed to play Magicka because you will kill everybody.
I don't know what you're talking about. The incident of which you speak happened so long ago, no one remembers.
Mm-hmm.
No one remembers.
I remember.
I didn't blow you up.
You know what? You were not able to see that too, because I had things wrong. See, they went. They made my software, my broadcaster stuff better, but I'm having to figure it out again this morning. So, forgive me. Sorry, y'all didn't get to see that trailer. It's going to be up on GameAndMatrix.com in just a little bit. Check it out over there.
Let me see what she done, y'all. Y'all know. Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah, it's different how it's laid out. Like, I can, like, flip things easier. I don't have to move things. Y'all have no idea what I was doing before. This makes it so much easier. I like this.
I got a commercial, but ooh.
It's pretty.
That guy's cute in the commercial. And he's doing laundry. Oh, I'm sorry. I got all distracted. Okay, so.
No, any guy doing laundry is hot, so.
Right. All right. You Dead Space people, get your hands up before you take that. Do you have my trailer ready, by the way, Ginger?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Let me get it for you. There you go. Hands up. Would you like me to play?
Go ahead and do the play. Play.
There you go.
All right, so before you take down the terror in Dead Space 3 coming out February the 8th, you can take a look back on Isaac Clarke's journey so far. It's been released in four parts. The Dead Space Journey Through Terror series charts the evolution of the Dead Space series to date, its story, its gameplay, and its scares, and also provides a glimpse of what the next chapter has in store for Isaac Clarke in Dead Space 3. The first episode of the miniseries recounts Isaac's journey so far. A systems engineer on a team responding to a distress call on board the USG Ishimura. His life changes forever when they discover the necromorphs.
Forever.
Yes, right. Hideous and deadly creatures reconstructed from the dead crew members. Isaac tries to rescue the Ishimura survivors, including his girlfriend, Nicole, with whom he communicates several times, only to discover that she took her own life prior to his arrival on the ship. Ooh. A religious artifact known as the Marker had manipulated his mind. Isaac eventually escapes the necromorph's outbreak intact, but is left broken and heavy with guilt over Nicole's death. 3 years later, Isaac awakens from his stasis on a huge station orbiting Titan, Saturn's largest moon. I don't want to go there. Unfortunately for him, he awakens in the midst of yet another necromorph outbreak. Gradually, he discovers that whilst he is unconscious, his knowledge of the markers was accessed by EarthGov and used to create blueprints for more markers to be built, including one on the Titan station itself. Though still suffering dementia from his feelings of guilt over Nicole's death, Isaac again manages to stop the Necromorph outbreak despite being pursued by EarthGov and the fanatical Church of Unitology. Can you help him save fellow Titan survivor Ellie?
It's zombies!
That's just part one. Tomorrow, part two will be released, part two of four. So you can also go ahead and order Dead Space if you so feel so inclined.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's kind of hot, ain't it?
No, that's good. Oh,
get it. From the woman who kills zombies. Come on now. You know,
they're already zombies when I'm killing them. I don't actually see the transformation.
Well, that's part of the fun. I like to see the transformation. You know, I've never played Dead Space. Have you played it?
No. I'm thinking from this trailer I will not be because I want to sleep at night.
See, these don't bother me. Do you know why? Because they're set in, fantastical future world. Okay, remember, you're a little bit ahead of us. Okay, so it's set in fantastical future world. So that doesn't bother me. It's the ones that are set in my time and that could happen, like when we were watching the DayZ trailer.
Yeah,
that one right there scares me because that's, during our time.
True, but that whole drilling into the eye part a minute ago was...
You're going to be all right, Ginger.
Anybody
out there planning on playing them some Dead Space? Hot.
It is pretty. It is very pretty. I have to go on that. It looks amazing.
It's always beautiful. Kim, for once, though, can we get the girl who's guilty over the death of her boyfriend trying to save the station?
I know. Saving. Why can't it be the girl?
And considering
women gamers are what 46% of the gaming population now?
47.
So
we'll see. What bothers me most about this is this game is obviously a ripoff of the movie Aliens, which stars a woman the lead character, mm-hmm. and the movie The Thing. Okay, so if you're going to mix the two, at least give us a female character.
Yeah, I thought it was a game about how Scientology was bad.
Well, that's also in there, too.
I'm sorry, the whole Unitology, you know.
Yeah, it was very close. We caught on. We knew exactly what they were referring to. Ooh, man. All right. Are we ready?
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes. I do believe I am ready. Ready.
Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. All right. So, next story up, GamePolitics.com. Got to tell you about this morning. The NCAC is very mad, and others protest video game ban in New Jersey library.
Who is the NCAC?
The National Coalition Against Censorship.
Oh, they're mad? Oh, you know what? Okay, let me let you do the story. I was lost. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the writer says, do you like playing direct shooter video games? Well, whatever they are, you can't play them at Patterson Free Public Library in New Jersey anymore. Prompted by a petition from library staff members, the library's board voted last month to ban the play of such games on computers at its facilities. And why? Well, they said, we felt we should do everything we can to prevent our kids from learning these behaviors. Your library! You know we're in New
York. You really? Behaviors!
All right, so this is coming from Brain Dead number one, Irene Sterling. We feel a responsibility to the kids of the community, says the library's director, Cindy Shizak, from now on, Brain Dead number two. All right, so if you don't agree, well, neither does the National Coalition Against Censorship, who last Friday sent a letter to the New Jersey Library criticizing this new policy. In part, the letter goes on to say, it is no more acceptable for a library to ban access to certain kinds of video games than it would be to selectively remove other lawful materials. Library patrons include young people, have a First Amendment right to make their own decisions about literature, art, informational materials, and entertainment without having those choices limited by the subjective views of library officials. Library officials attempt to justify their decision by claiming that they are acting in parens patria. However, the librarians are not babysitters, and they have no way to know that their views correspond with those of parents or guardians.
That would be right.
Mm-hmm. Moreover, the policy apparently applies to patrons of all ages, including adults and minors, who are accompanied by an adult. Wow. All right, seriously, let me go through your history section. Let's start looking at all the different war books. Let's look at all your romance books that include rape and
Bible.
Yeah, let's go through the Bible. You've got several Bibles in your different Bibles, different religious texts inside your institution, I'm sure. Let's go over all of those. All your sci-fi section, all your fans, your fiction section, everything. We know.
Oh, Stephen King section alone.
And unicorns and Skittles.
So Stephen King alone would shut down the library.
Exactly.
One book would shut down the library.
And how many documentaries do you have about murderers and killers? How many books do you have about these different... I'm sure you've got something.
Hellraisers.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You know what? What is amazing to me about libraries, and I'm a big advocate of libraries, but I don't know if it's funding or not. Honestly, I don't know, but I would think they're government-funded. They always are like a step behind everything. I never understood, like, remember when, you know, the rise of the bookstore, we had the Barnes & Nobles, and the libraries were saying people are not coming to libraries as much. And my first thought was, well, you know, they got coffee at Barnes & Noble. If you stick a coffee shop in here, you'd have people in here 24/7 checking out books because they don't have to pay for them. I'm paying $7 for coffee, and I get to walk out with my book, and all I got to do is bring it back. And when I come back, I'm going to get another cup of coffee. I never understood that. Why do the libraries not do that?
I don't know.
But they want to censor. They censor, you know, things. And some of them, quite a few of them, I ran across. This is another thing they're missing out on: gaming. Let me tell you what you all are about to see now that all this is going on. You're about to see the rise or the resurgence of cyber cafes. Remember, they've died out. You're about to see the rise of them come back again. You're not letting the kids play. Somebody's going to just throw a chain together, and that's where the kid is going to be. They're not coming to the library anymore. So instead of shunning them, what you should be doing, the smart thing to do, is if you're, let's say it's dead space, okay, dead space, you could pull at least a whole section. You can call it the dead space section. You let them play the game, and right next to it, there's a big sign about, you know, NASA, space exploration. You're not using your opportunities to get them interested in something else.
Exactly, exactly.
So that's what I would do if I had the library. You know, if I got a Sims game, I'd put all the books about economics and child rearing and parenting and all this stuff next to it, because obviously, if they're playing the game, this is what they're thinking about. And I'd have a computer dedicated to each game if I could, or, you know, or this computer has these games, or this one. Yeah. This is why libraries die out. Now, some things they are good at. I do like that you can now check out books on a jump drive. At least you can here in Houston. Very awesome. Mm-hmm. Very awesome. And you know, take them home and put it on your e-reader. But they missed the boat on so much stuff. And as a result, we're going to start losing our libraries. I hate to see that happen, because I spent a lot of my time at the library when I was growing up, from probably age 12 up until, God, 20s. Something. I was in the library every single day, you know, if I didn't have anything to do, because I wanted to learn stuff. I read everything I could get my hands on, from makeup, show tunes, and economics, and earthwork, anything, if, you know, if I like to read. But we're going to lose that. And they didn't like the internet came along, but instead of them working with the internet, they don't. They don't. Y'all need them.
Because it frightens them. They don't understand how to use it, so they're scared of it.
Maybe I need to become a librarian. I don't think I could do that. I could do library.
Yeah, I actually thought about that at the end of high school. You know what? What do I want to do? I could be a librarian.
Well, if I have issues with that whole decimal system, but I don't think you have to worry about that.
I worked the decimal system back in the day. I love the library.
Just stick me some sensor tags in a book. Mm-mm. You can't walk out of that. Can't walk out with that. Alarm goes off. See, this is the high library we'd have. Super high tech. That's what we'd have. Okay.
Yeah.
Guess what? We very rarely will say this name on our show because I'm going to tell you why. They have, in the early days of Gamenatrix, they sent us a lot of things, not to necessarily work with us, but because I think at some point, you know, we're a smaller gaming website and they're a bigger one, and they just figured we needed the help with the news, or, but they didn't know what we were or anything till I told their PR person. And what they sent us is very sexist and racist and degrading press releases. And that website will be IGN. So we very seldom say anything about them. They're not even our frenemies like Kotaku, honestly. We did support their show. They had Girl Fight. And I don't know if that's still there. If you girls are still there, if the, after what I'm about to report happens and you're not there, we welcome you. Come on over here.
Mm-hmm.
We like you. We'd like to have you. But Ziff Davis has confirmed that they have acquired IGN, the IGN network. And they said that it's supposed to make them a massive games media outlet under the umbrella of the new parent company called J2 Global, under which we will not be a part of. And you guys know what that means. You're not going to get what you want. It sounds great, but it never works out. The network will join several other brands at Ziff Davis, which are aimed at a similar lucrative demographic centered around, you guessed it, males, age 18 to 34. Leaving out 47% of the world's demographic of gamers. Ladies, are you listening? You need to be on this side of the fence. J2 Global CEO Jaime Zucker said this is a transformative deal for our digital media business. By combining two of the most storied organizations in tech, gaming and entertainment, we have created a very powerful company capable of producing and delivering content in all forms to an audience that marketers highly value but means absolutely nothing because none of them buy games that women do. Not that you guys don't. I'm just saying. You all know, some of you young ones at 18, mama's still buying you games for you. Anyway.
This is true.
So Ziff Davis apparently already owns and operates PC Mag, Extreme Tech, Gearlog. IGN currently consists of the main IGN site, 1UP, which I stopped visiting a long time ago as soon as I figured out they were part of the same network. Sorry, 1UP. GameSpy, Ask Men, GameStats, and the Vault Networks. 1UP was previously owned by Ziff Davis but was sold to UGO Entertainment in 2009. UGO Entertainment was acquired by IGN just in 2011. If IGN is purchased by Ziff Davis, it will complete 1UP's long journey back to its original parent company. And still, I left them a long time ago. J2 Global, Ziff Davis publisher entity, has almost completed the purchase of of IGN's entertainment division. And they said they purchased it for around $650 million in 2005. and has had the group on the market since October of last year. J2 Global bought it for $650. Ziff Davis will be purchasing it for around $100 million cash.
Wow. I don't think about that. That's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money. They do well for themselves, but it still leaves out a demographic. Guys, let me point something out to you. We're not man haters. You guys that are straight, even some of you that are gay that like to hang around with girls, and you're over at the IGN site and you're wondering why there are no women there. This is why. Not just that's their demographic. We obviously have ours. But they literally.
I haven't been over there in a while because the last time I was over there, and I will admit, several years ago, was because it seemed to be run by fucking gold. Oops, sorry. Fucking gold sellers. I'm sorry. you have no idea my disdain for gold sellers.
Well, you should see the press releases we used to get. If I still had access to the original hard drive, and I was able to, because remember, no Twitter, no Facebook, if I could get hold of them and post them now so that you could see some of the things that they sent us, Digital Babe, and it's full of pictures of Blood Rain, and she's half naked, and I don't mean she's covering the, you know, everything's out. And they're like, you want to share this with your readers? And so finally,
no, we don't.
I emailed the guy one day, and I said, have you even looked at GameOfNatrix.com, do you even know who we are? He says, well, yeah, I looked. I said, you looked and you thought it was okay to send us a topless picture of Blood Rain and say, share this with our readers. And then he goes and looks, oh, I'm so sorry. I says, now, when you put up digital hunk, then you let us know. And then actually we created it, and then we got a little bit of goodness for that. But they don't look, they don't pay any attention, and at that point, maybe the female demographic wasn't that large, but I'm going to say it's probably going to get bigger this year. We have a whole influx of women coming, so you all might want to pay attention over there at IGN. Do they still have
IGN used to be tied in with Infinity Media. Infinity Media was an umbrella, pretty much an umbrella for Goldstone Company, because they also own Zam.com, they bought out Warhead and several others, and oh, it irritated me when I found out.
Yeah, I'm checking to see if the girl was still over there. No, they are gone. If anybody knows where those girls went, tell them GTR's got plenty of room. Come on over here.
Bring it. Bring girls. Bring it.
Just right. We don't record. We're live. But come on over. We'd like to have you.
True story. Okay, so this is kind of awesome. College people, are you listening? You should be listening. ESA announces E3 College Game Competition. The Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, has launched a new program called the College Game Competition, open to college students earning an education at colleges and universities with computer and video game development programs. The College Game Competition charges students and colleges to work together. Are you kidding me, headphones? To work together to submit a game that represents their story. Competing schools submit story details and content assets from their playable video game, which will then be judged by a specifically selected panel of game industry veterans and media professionals. Finalists will receive a special showcase display and related opportunities at this year's Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles later this year. Submissions will be accepted starting March 15th, with the final deadline for submissions on April 19th. Finalists will be notified on May 10th, and the big winner will be announced during E3. The ESA says that this competition will target almost 400 U.S. colleges, universities, arts, and trade schools offering video game courses, certificates, and degree programs. Five finalists will be selected to present their games at the Los Angeles-based E3 show. The ESA says that it will provide complete instructions to participating schools, including guidelines on specific design, concept, and key asset requirements. All right, so you want more information for you or your school? TheESA.com. Head over there, grab it now. Corey?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a little sidetracked.
That's fine. I got to change batteries because this thing's being brat. I guess I just need to buy better rechargeables or something because this is twice now gone dead during the show.
All right. She just outed herself all on the show. All right. Let me throw you a link for when you're back because we got to talk about this. Wow. This has got to be the most expensive game ever. See, she's all gone. All right. One of the most amazing things about game development is the cost. GI.biz. Wait a minute.
Cost is crazy in game development.
Yes. So you see that. Go ahead and put that link up. That is actually the website for, you know, I'm waiting for this game. Oh, my God. Come on. Give it to me. Give it to me. what you mean? No. What you ever tell me no?
No.
What you ever tell me no?
Okay. All right. No.
All right. According to GI.biz, and the old adage of you have to spend money to make money, one analyst believes Take-Two is poised to do both in abundance with upcoming release Grand Theft Auto 5. Throw your V's up in the air. In a note,
yeah,
to
baby.
That's right. In a note to investors today, Stern AG's Arvind Bhatia. You know what? We're going to need you to send us a pronunciation of your name, Arvind. At least the last name. He said the game's recent delay will add to its development costs, but it does nothing to blunt its potential success. Bhatia detailed a hypothetically profitability model for GTA 5 based on an estimated development cost of, drumroll please, $137.5 million, representing a team of the 250 people they have had working on this project for 5 years. Some of you that want to get in game development and are youngsters, you might want to take those figures to your parents when they say, you can't get into game development. You won't make any money. Oh, really? Bam. Okay, so even adding projected marketing costs between $69 million and $109.3 million, Bhatia saw that GTA 5 provided huge returns for Take-Two in the event that GTA 5 sells only, quotes, 15 million copies, Bhatia estimated that Take-Two would still see more than $193.6 million in operating profit from the game for its fiscal year, or an earnings per share contribution of $2.11 million. Now, should the game outperform expectations with 25 million copies sold, a figure that assumes a much higher marketing spend, Bhatia put Take-Two's operating profits from the game at $390.8 million. Now, at the moment, Bhatia believes GTA 5 will sell about 18 million units in Take-Two's fiscal year, saying it's likely to be the best-selling game of the year, of course. Bhatia suggested it could be second only to the next Call of Duty, which he identified as Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. Oh, God. Can you go with a different name?
Oh, my God.
How modern is it if you just keep numbering it up? As for the delay, the analyst said it will make for a more crowded holiday market, especially combined with the potential of new consoles. Regardless, Bhatia said, this is a long-awaited title that consumers are unlikely to pass up. And
it's not that long-awaited.
GTA 5?
My bad. I was still on the Modern Warfare thing. My bad.
Nope, GTA is what they're talking about. He said yesterday, of course, Take-Two delayed GTA 5 from its previous spring release window to September 17th. The news drove Take-Two stock down sharply, although it had regained most of its value by midday trading on today. I am so wanting my GTA. Oh, who can we flash the boobies to get this done, Take-Two? What do you want to see?
What do they want to see?
I'm saying, I will do it. What do you want to see? What do you want me to do?
They want to see it all. All right, so this next one.
It. Take it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm a game prostitute.
That's fine.
I had to correct it. I was about to say the other one. Game
prostitute. Yeah. I heard what you were about to say. All right. So what I'm about to show y'all next is Scribblenauts. Sorry, folks. In Europe. Scribblenauts Unlimited delayed in Europe. And we're going to show you the trailer anyways, just to tease you. We are sorry to announce that Scribblenauts Unlimited, a game developed by Warner Brothers Interactive and Fifth Cell, and published by Nintendo of Europe for both Nintendo 3DS and Wii U, will be delayed in Europe. And as come to light, some changes need to be implemented within the game before we launch them across Europe. We are very sorry for any inconvenience this may cause, and we hope to make further announcements on the European launch about these games very, very, very soon. But until then, your SOL, no scribble knots for you. But again, I'm going to show it to you anyways. Oh, look at the little doggy. Look at the little corn. Oh, he drew them in the game. Oh, the doggy with tires. See, I might play that and then lose my soul to it. That looks like that could be kind of fun.
I'm not a Scribblenauts fan. I think it's a good game. Let me just say that because I don't want to put the Scribblenauts people down. They're very nice to us. I'm just not interested in playing, and I may start playing and love it. That's usually what happens with me. All right. I got two for you. Two.
You got two for me? What's that?
Well, there was a rumor going around. Washington Post reported earlier in the week that the FCC was planning a nationwide Wi-Fi network. Right? Everybody's all excited. FCC said it's a lie.
A lie? No, not a darn dirty lie.
So according to VentureBeat, here's where the rumor started. The FCC is getting ready to auction off additional chunks of the wireless spectrum, including the white spaces, which are currently unused bands of the spectrum in between those allotted to different broadcast TV channels. And those frequencies are attractive, of course, to broadcasters and wireless technology makers because they can transmit signals over long distances and through obstacles better than current Wi-Fi. Unlicensed spectrum means that you do not get you don't need to get FCC's approval to use it, so you can have, like, I'm about to go into geek talk, hands above the desk. For example, you can have the 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz bands used by today's Wi-Fi signals. They're currently unlicensed, so anyone can broadcast whatever they want in these frequencies within certain limits. You cannot do too much transmit with a high amount of power, apparently. Before the auction can begin, the FCC, informed by public comment, needs to decide exactly which chunks to auction and which ones to reserve for public use. It's a long and complicated process, apparently. It's contained within the FCC's October 2nd, 2012 auction notices, which kicked off the latest phase of the process, and statements by FCC Chairman Julius Smith, I know that's not his name, about the importance of unlicensed spectrum. And he had this to say. He said, in addition to unleashing licensed spectrum, we also propose to free up a significant amount of unlicensed spectrum for Wi-Fi-like uses. Also, he said today's proposal would create the world's first nationwide unlicensed spectrum band suitable for our robust wireless broadband on a contiguous low-band frequency. Basically, we don't get no free Wi-Fi.
Of course, no free Wi-Fi?
Yeah, and of course, tech companies like Google and Microsoft would have loved to have more unlicensed spectrum to play with, but broadcasters and wireless carriers want to preserve their competitive edge and the value of the spectrum licenses they've paid billions of dollars to buy by minimizing the amount of unlicensed spectrum out there. That's why carriers keep trying to kill the FCC white spaces proposal. Yeah, so the FCC is not building a nationwide Wi-Fi network. It just wanted to clear the way for companies to build the next-gen wireless technologies without having to buy licenses from the government. So, nope. No for us. Also, have you guys with newer phones been getting the alerts?
I have, yeah, and I sort of like those. Sort of like those, sort of not so much, they're a little bit annoying at times, but... They're good and all that, so.
Okay, well, apparently it's been scaring the hell out of people. Does it scare you?
No, it annoys me sometimes when I'm trying to sleep and the darn thing goes off.
Well, you are not alone. This is actually a little bit of an older story. I wanted to grab this last week, but I had an alert this morning, I think, so then I remembered I wanted to share. Okay, so apparently the next time a child's abducted in your area, if you don't have one of these phones already, or if you're getting a new one, you will get an alert message. This is a new national Amber Alert system that officially rolled out January.
Can you opt out of it?
No.
Okay.
This, Well, I don't know. I think I can on mine. You might be able to. It rolled out earlier.
I'm not saying I want to. But.
Yeah, but it came out to millions of cell phones because the alerts are automatically active when you get your phone. Most people don't even know they have it. So the newly expanded, it's called, there's also a newly expanded emergency alert system that's, Ginger, did we lose you?
I'm here.
Oh, you went all
dead. I was just crunching M&Ms and didn't want to, like, crunch.
Oh, you went all dead silent. Oh, okay, so this is an effort by FEMA to update the way it reaches people through new technologies. But local officials and others are worrying about the lack of public education because nobody knew this was coming. And there's, of course, some initial stumbles that undermine the program's purpose, especially when people are scared and annoyed. And then, yes, you can
I assumed I downloaded it somewhere drunkenly and had forgotten about it because I was like, why am I getting alerts?
Nope. One Miss Lisa Rott was woken up at 1:44 a.m. in the morning. She lives in Sarasota, Florida. A high-pitched tone sounded in spurts for about 10 seconds while her phone buzzed like a million times, she says, multiple times rather. Initially, Roth, who's 50 years old, was worried something had happened to her elderly mother. Then when she saw the message, emergency alert, emergency Amber alert, the alert was issued in your area. Please check local media. She said she thought it was spam. And she works at AT&T as a process engineer. And because her cell phone has a New Jersey number, she wasn't exactly sure where the alert originated. The next morning, she searched online for both New Jersey and Florida incidents, yielding one likely possibility hours away from her home.
You know, I didn't think about that. I got those alerts, and my number is not from where I live at all.
Yes. She said, so what are we
getting them from here or from somewhere else?
Exactly. So she says, what are we supposed to do? She says, they're not telling us what to do. They're not even telling us what to look for in our area. And, of course, she called AT&T.
And you should, like, identify all the phones in network that's in the area and, like...
Pretty much. So she called AT&T and said, make the message stop. Dozens of people, of course, have been all over Facebook and Twitter talking about being woken up and scared. FEMA officials said they are aware of the confusion the Amber Alerts have caused and are working with the U.S. Department of Justice. They're also saying Damon Penn, who oversees the FEMA emergency alert system, said that there's a very delicate balance between how much is enough and how much alerting is too much. So the big concern is over-alerting, and that's what we're focusing on. You know what? That's not the biggest concern. The problem with these alert systems is, okay, it's an Amber Alert, which is great. But when you're going to use the technology, the way that they're using the technology is about 6 years behind the capabilities of most phones. If you're going to do an Amber Alert, I should open my phone when this stupid thing goes off, and I should see a picture of who's missing. I should have the license plate number, you know, everything I need, and it should be GPS locale, not my phone number. It needs to be GPS. I'm here, so there's an Amber Alert in my area. Obviously, if somebody's missing in Florida and I have a Texas phone number and I live in Florida, it's not going to help the person who's missing. It needs to be GPS-based. Well, I'm applauding the effort, but you didn't go far enough. Literally, if you look at the alerts, it doesn't tell you anything. You really don't know, because the first time I saw it, well, I noticed this in the phone. Remember I told you that I noticed it also has one that says presidential alert, which you cannot opt out of, by the way. So if you opt out of everything and you get an alert on your phone still, be aware that came from, you know, El Jefe. So you need to make sure you look and see what's going on. But you don't know what – it doesn't tell you who's missing. They just say check local media. So what if it's a storm going on in your area at the time and it's an Amber Alert? How are you supposed to check local media? That's why it should all be there, right there in my phone. The picture should pop up of the missing kid.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the license plate number. Click here, you know, because you know you can click and dial from your phone. Everybody knows it, right? When you open a web page, if there's a phone number, if you touch it long enough, it'll dial it for you. All that should be right there in the phone if you're going to do it there, people. At FEMA, instead of this mishmash, because I've gotten a few of them and it tells me nothing. It just says Amber Alert. Check local media.
And I think the last one I got, it actually told me what the car was and told me what the danger level was of the kid that was kidnapped.
Well, Lee, you got more than I did.
But again, that brings me back, and I hadn't even thought about it. My cell phone number is not from around here. My cell phone number is from quite a ways away.
Hey, look,
so
here's the last one I got. Now, the first one I got, okay, and they've gotten a little better, so maybe they're trying to learn to go along. The first one I got, January 8th, said, an Amber Alert has been issued in your area. Please check local media. The next one I got says, Amber Alert, check local media, and then it has the license plate number and that it was a 1996 green Toyota Camry four-door. And it didn't get much better than that. It just gives me a license plate number. And you guys need to pictures would be helpful. I don't know what a GMC Envoy is, honestly, if I saw it. I'd have to be looking at the name of the truck.
No, and that would be, and of course, you know, people are going to be like, well, that's going to cost me. No, I think for this sort of service, if you're sending out pictures, I mean, if the service is sending out a picture, it should not cost the recipient.
Because they can go to wireless carriers and say, when we send these, this particular data does not charge people. And that's easy. And people with the technology nowadays, they're so... They just don't. It's just lazy. I don't want to do. I don't want to have to do that. Yeah, do it because
exactly. I saw something on Facebook yesterday, a little bit disturbing. A guy had abused a little girl, had beat her black and blue with a belt from like head to toe, and they put up pictures of her, which I thought was kind of irritating. I don't like that. I mean, go ahead, tell me what he did. I forget what page it was. I'm following on Facebook, but apparently it was her niece who'd been beat. And the guy had disappeared, and the cops were looking for him. And she put up his picture and told him what he did. And within about 30 minutes, somebody posted, hey, you know what? I know that guy. He's at his grandmother's at such and such street in such town in such and such state. He's there right now. I just saw him. So
it works. It can actually work, but it's a picture is what did. Unfortunately, they did the bad pictures first, but maybe they – in a way, it may have worked. It didn't, you know, it made somebody want to get up and do something like, oh, my God, that's horrible.
Oh, and I get that. People like, you know, I want to show this so people see what he did, see how horrible he is. Okay, honey, while that's, you know, one way to get people riled up, on the other hand, there are some sick people out there who will take pleasure in looking at these pictures. So let's not put those up there and give them away. And then you're putting a child's face on the internet, and that is just icky to me. Anyway, it's big, big, big no. It's three weirdos. All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Anonymous leaked some personal data recently.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Are you a U.S. bank executive? Well, you might want to check to make sure you're not one of these 4,000 people that just had all their personal data leaked. Hacking collective known as Anonymous has pulled off yet another embarrassing attack against the United States government. While most people were enjoying Super Bowl 47 on Sunday, the group published login and private information belonging to more than 4,000 American bank executives on the Alabama Criminal Justice Information Center website. The file contained names, titles, email addresses, physical addresses, fax numbers, mobile phone numbers, login IDs, IP addresses, hashed password, and other details. It is widely believed that the information was obtained from computers belonging to the Federal Reserve. The attack is said to be a response to the suicide of Aaron Swartz as part of Anonymous's Operation Last Resort campaign, which demands that the U.S. reform its computer crime law. Guys, you're going about this wrong again. Okay, these guys, some of them are, I get it, you're mad at them because they work for banks, da-da-da-da-da. These guys were not the ones pressing charges. They were not the ones. They're not the government officials that were pushing this. Some of these bank representatives, even if they are executives, are good guys and girls. They're good people, and you just leaked their information. And that is not cool. Not cool at all. So y'all are just going to make it worse. Some days y'all get it totally right. And then some days y'all are so far off the mark, I wonder what the hell is wrong with you.
Well, y'all have pissed off Ginger. All right, those of you who want to get yourself an Ouyah should be very, very happy because, and I have no video to show you, unfortunately, VentureBeat is reporting that Ouyah, if you've not heard of them, the Android-based microconsole that captured a wave of financial support on crowdfunding site Kickstarter is only a few months away from its retail debut. Target, Best Buy, Amazon, and GameStop confirmed they will begin selling the TV gaming device in June for a mere $99.99. Oh, this is going to be good. Don't we have a console coming out the end of March, too?
I don't know.
Today's special.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be juicy. Oh, my God. It's going to be good. Okay, so according to the Wall Street Journal, Amazon and GameStop opened pre-orders for the system and controllers just today. Extra controllers are going for $49.99. Really, Ouyah? Half the price of your console? Really? Ouya is a small console box that connects to the HD televisions through an HDMI port. This brings Android gaming to the living room. It takes the focus away from touchscreen controls. But I like the touchscreen. Okay, so the device has its own digital distribution store that curates controller-optimized games. The creators will have also promised customers that the system is fully open and hackable. This will allow users to load any Android program they choose, which could include pirated games and emulators for classic consoles like Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64. Oh, my God. This is going to be good. The lawsuits that are about to follow. Delicious. Okay, so Ouya is the highest grossing gaming-related Kickstarter in the site's history. The project had a goal of $950,000 and raised more than $8.5 million. This success suggests a demand from gamers for alternatives to traditional systems from Nintendo and Microsoft. At the same time, Ouya has its work cut out for it. It intends to compete against Valve's PC gaming service, Steam.
Ooh.
Steam. And new hardware from Microsoft.
You can compete all you want. I just don't think y'all are going to win against that.
Ooh, man. It's also got to compete against Microsoft and Sony. They're saying Microsoft, Sony, end of the year, but we get...
No, they're just going to be lax. What? You ain't got nothing on us.
I don't know. This is going to be a good fight. Okay.
No, it's not.
Well, no, it's going to be a good fight because so many people are looking to buy it, for one. So what I'm looking at is the fact the emulator thing is going to create a problem.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of the developers for those older systems don't really like emulators. That's why they don't, you know, if it was a good thing, they would probably make and sell it themselves. You know, here you can buy an emulator for our old games. You know, here's $10. Yeah, or buy it for $10. But you're saying you can, you know, they'd be able to load these things onto the Ouya. They're going to come after them. Oh, my God. I don't know if Nintendo will. Nintendo might, you know, they're kind of laid back. They're like, whatever, you know. But, oh, my God. Well, put it this way. If you can reverse engineer to get Nintendo 64 and the old platforms, you can probably load up an emulator for the Wii U, too. And all this... You can listen to what I'm saying. The fight that's about to ensue. Xbox? This will be a fight.
I agree, Jay. Jay says, Ouya is as good as dead. Target clearance in 6 months. Amen, Jay. Amen. I agree. I'm sorry.
I have no idea. He didn't tweet to me, so.
He's in the chat room over on Twitch.
I'm not speaking to Jay. No, okay.
Poor Jay. All right, so I want to share this video with y'all while I am talking about it. Yay! Here we go. Press play. Did I press play? Are you going?
Press it up.
Or are you not going? There it goes. Oh, you know what? And then I got to shrink this over here, so there we go.
12.
So under the name Terra Rising, publisher GameForge is making one of the most graphically impressive and innovative fantasy MMOs in recent years playable. Oh, yeah, folks. For free. Oh, I may go back and play. It's actually for free. Appearing at the same time as the free-to-play launch, the new dungeon Crucible of Flame and the Champion of Sky Ring 3v3 arena offer players many new challenges and rewards.
What is it?
I don't know yet. PvE and PvP. Yeah. I can talk. I swear I can. PvE and PvP fun. Crucible of Flame Dungeon and Champion Sky Ring Arena. The free-to-play launch is accompanied by exciting content for both PvE and PvP fans. There is a new dungeon, Crucible of Flame, as well as the Champion Sky Ring 3v3. You've already told us this three times. The Crucible of Flame offers a completely new kind of dungeon experience as players battle against monsters and bosses at various difficult levels. They compete for dominance and a ranking system. Challengers who reach the top levels can look forward to valuable rewards. The Crucible of Flame is also home to a brand new boss monster, the Cyclops. In Champions Skyring, Arborea's adventurers can put their skills to the test in thrilling 3v3 battles. Victors will be rewarded with the newly introduced Killing Spree credits, which can be used to obtain special PvP equipment. The top-ranked players here will also receive a powerful new skill. The new Spectator mode allows fallen heroes to watch the battle and view. That is actually cool. All right, so what I've been showing you right now is the new trailer for the free-to-play launch.
I want to see some gameplay, though, because, see, that's all pretty, but does the game look like
right?
That? That's what I want to know.
So there's the free-to-play model of Terra includes two basic account types. I'm going to press play again. Free users and veterans. Free users enjoy full access to all of the game content. Veteran status is reserved for those who purchased Terra before the free-to-play Switch, not for certain advantages in terms of convenience. It is also possible to join the Terra Club with membership benefits, such as a special mount, a daily selection of boosts, and various roles, and more. I'm wondering what the difference is in the two accounts. If it's something like bag space, I'm going to be mad. That irritates me when y'all do that. Or not being able to use the darn auction house.
Well, don't get me started. Fallen Earth, that's your one drawback.
I know that you can only create one thing. You know, at least I could see five. Because before, you could make like 15 at a time. Just let me have like a third of that, five things at a time.
I'm saying, can I just buy me some slots? I'll pay $1 for each slot. I have no issue with that so that I can get them. And just, let me have my crafting slots because that's what I like to do. I love to craft. I love crafting in games. That is what I live for. If I'm going to be in a game, crafting. And then I love to hand the stuff out to people. I just run by randomly giving people food. You know, like you need some, what is it, learn how to make
wine cooler. I know, because I mean, if you're trying to craft clothes or something, sometimes you have to, like to craft, like, a gray shirt or something. You have to craft, like, the basic shirt. And then you have to craft the gray shirt that has also the basic shirt with it.
Yes.
And especially the quest right off the bat to make your flipping ATV, there's a lot of crafting that goes into that.
I still haven't made mine. I just
I haven't.
I'm all lost. I don't even know where I am. I'm just going around killing stuff at this point.
I'm trying to get my next level before we go back to that place
to the
and try to kill everything.
We can't handle it at 10. We're going to need a crew. We're going to need the whole crew to do that.
Yeah. I joined a clan, but then I've not been back.
Yeah,
so. Well, you did start a clan, so I'm going
to
join a clan.
We had with us, too. We were trying to wait until we had everybody on. You know what? You're going to get popped.
Oh, well, when everybody's on, I'll leave this one.
Then they're going to come start following us. You know how
they can follow us.
Not that kind of follow stalking. You know how they are.
Well, they were giving me stuff, so that's okay.
Jay still wants to know. Scrolls is still unusable. Just so you know. Scrolls is unusable until such
because time. You will be sued.
You don't want to be sued. We don't want to be sued. Please no sue us. Please no sue us, Mr. Princess. Your princess is not here. Your princess is not here.
Your princess is in another castle.
Your lawsuit in another castle. Please, there's no sue.
Lawsuit in another castle.
Oh, man.
We don't have enough time to talk about this. All right, I'm going to tweet a story out. Experimental Microsoft software tries to predict catastrophic events by analyzing news headlines.
I love that. Awesome. I can scare myself because y'all know I love to scare myself.
I think this is so cool. Kind of scary, but kind of neat. So I just tweeted that out. Check that out. I'm also going to share it over on my Facebook.
Ooh. Are y'all scared yet when I did that?
We can go back and look at MySpace. MySpace is looking really cool, too.
Oh, I've been in MySpace. We got a few people following us on MySpace. I just haven't figured out what to do with it. It's just so pretty. I just keep looking at it going, oh, my God.
I almost forgot about it. So I'm going to have to go back and check it out again because I'm not a fan so much really of Google Plus. Google Plus is interesting, but it's kind of a pain.
They're locked into themselves.
Yeah.
So you can't really share a whole lot of stuff. I gotta rejoin MySpace. How you like that?
Interesting.
I do. They're making me rejoin.
MySpace.com. I'm gonna go check it out right now.
Yes. All right, and if you haven't signed up for MySpace, you should check it out. It is awesome. I would say it's not. It looks like it's more business oriented to me. Is that what it looks like to you?
Yeah, it does.
It looks like it's a very pretty, a much prettier version of LinkedIn. Obviously, ironically. I was about to use the wrong word.
I'll be joining Facebook or MySpace with Facebook.
See, and that's what's missing from our sign up at Google Plus. Is that you're locked in. You really can't. It's difficult to share.
You know what? We need that on ours. Just
I need Justin Timberlake. I want him to follow me on MySpace.
Right. I did not like him back in the day, but he's gotten sexier as he's gotten older.
Did we not talk about that? The testosterone does the guys good. Y'all keep doing that. That's good. It's worse.
back during his whole boy band days, I was not interested. I was like, man, whatever. Now that he's married to Jessica Biel, I'm like, you know what? He's hot.
That testosterone don't actually fully kick in, Ginger, till they hit about 28. You didn't know?
No, I did not know.
That's when it kicks in. Then you have to go back and look at them around 28, and then it's like, oh, my God, you would be hotness. So those of you who are still around 25, 28, wait a minute. Did they just tell me my own name ain't available?
That's crazy.
I love it. I'm sorry, your name is not available. It's mine. How is it not available?
I don't know.
All right, my space. Be that way. Anyway, we are out of here. It's time for us to go. We will see you guys on the later. Maybe tonight. I'm not sure about tonight. Depends on how Snow is feeling. We'll say more about that later. Fix me. I'll let you know later.
Later, boys and girls.